back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
How good is the ACC? Notice how I framed that question? I didn't say how bad is the ACC, but how good is that league? I think it's a down year by some standards, but, you know, I'm viewing that from a distance and by looking at the metrics, and certainly got a team like Duke that a lot of people have penciled into the Final Four, if not the title game, if not the national championship. They got the best player in Cooper Flagg, but how good are they? We don't really know. How can we know unless we see them up close? Our next guest has seen them up close. John Platts is the men's basketball color analyst, football reporter, Stanford guy, former Cardinal basketball player, longtime radio voice, trusted friend of this show. John Platts joining us now. You've seen the ACC all year. You got a big NIT game for Kyle Smith and the Cardinal tonight. But give us an idea, like what it was like to kind of look at these ACC teams, Platts.
Well, John, first of all, thanks for having me on, and thanks for, in your own way, pumping up the Stanford-Northridge game tonight at Maples Pavilion on campus, of course. ACC, well, what do you want to know? I mean, you and I have sort of talked off mic about Duke, or communicated off mic about Duke, and if Cooper Flagg were 100% healthy, they win the whole thing, as far as I'm concerned. You know, this is my 36th year doing this. I grew up in L.A. You know, I was a kid when John Wooden had his last 5 years, you know, the Walton teams that hardly ever lost, you know, for years they didn't lose. And the Duke team this year reminds me of those teams, just how sound they are. John, they got five guys that probably will be drafted among the 60 or 59 or whatever it is. They're drafted by the NBA. I mean, Cooper Flagg, John, I think, you know, in terms of the best player in college I've seen going back to the 1970s, I mean, I know there's Tim Duncan. I look at players of the year nationally. There's Tim Duncan, Kevin Durant, I think, was player of the year, Anthony Davis, Michael Jordan. I think Cooper Flagg is as sound fundamentally as any of them and as good as anybody since Jordan. I mean, he's 6'9". He's like Larry Bird, except he's more physical. He's quicker. He probably was the second best defensive player in the ACC, arguably the first best, because he's lanky and he wants to play defense. He shoots threes. He runs the floor, you know, like a gazelle. I mean, he's everything. Now, he's got that ankle, John, and you know, when you sprain your ankle and you jump 6 inches and you land on someone's foot, you know, that's a grade one, and maybe you're out 6 to 10 days or whatever. You go up 38 inches or 40, whatever he was on that rebound where he landed on someone's foot, you know, to me, that's 2 to 4 weeks. You know, that's the kind of grade two territory. You know, they're being quiet about it. I don't think he plays in the first game. And I think the question for me is how healthy is Cooper Flagg given that injury? Like I said, if they're healthy, they win the whole thing to me. If he's compromised, it becomes dicier.
I kind of agree that the wise thing is to shut him down in that opening game and try to get yourself to Sunday. Do they need him in Sunday's game? Because you've seen this roster. They win the ACC tournament without him, and they've got, you know, a number of players, including a freshman who's 6'7", who's the tournament player of the year and the tournament MVP. But Mississippi State and Baylor in the second game, does it get dicey enough for you to kind of push it a little bit with Flagg, or do you wait until he's 100%?
Well, they're such a principled outfit, and I say that respectfully, admiringly. They're not gonna let him go unless they, as well as he, feels like he's good enough to go. I mean, the Duke ethos is, look, we're a family, we play as a team, and we can go if we can go, but we're not gonna compromise somebody's future. And again, if he's got a grade two, John, like, he's not going this weekend. So this idea, everyone's assuming that he's good to go and he's bionic and ankle's gonna be okay. Call me Missouri. I need to see it to believe it. Just based on how high he jumped, and then landing on someone's foot, it's physics. I mean, you really stretch those ligaments. So, okay. So your question. So if they don't have him, I mean, John, the guards are 6'5" and 6'6". One is a defensive lion, Sion James. He's the de facto point guard. The the off guard, Tyrese Proctor, 6'6", beautiful shooter from Australia, third-team All-ACC. But it's Knipple. Con Knipple, he's a 6'7 freshman from Milwaukee. John, he's there. All those guys play hard. He plays the hardest. He's got the best set of fakes in the game. He's that sound, the up fakes that he has. He can handle it. He can shoot from three. He just goes. I'm a voter on the All-ACC team. I had him first team. He didn't make first team, but I thought he was one of the five best players, probably the third best player in the league, was Colin Knipple. So I think Duke wins this weekend with Flag, you know, without a lot of duress. Like I said, the second weekend becomes dicier, but I think they're fine this weekend.
John Platts with us, Stanford color radio analyst, and also a longtime voice of Stanford football as well, and a Stanford athlete himself. Is there a weakness on this Duke team? Is there one thing that you go, here's the one area that where they could get in trouble?
John, the only thing I can think of, it's in the realm of the ethereal. It's not really a technical thing or a basketball thing. They're young. Cooper Flagg is a freshman. Con Knipple is a freshman. By young, I said the other guys are new to the program, so they don't have that senior that's been with the program for 4 years. You know, they stumbled in the ACC once at Clemson. By the way, I think Clemson's very underrated. They're a 5 seed, and nobody's talking about them because whenever you say Clemson, people think, oh, it's Dabo Swinney in football. They've got some basketball guys, so I'd caution you to take a look at those guys. But they lost to Clemson, John. But Clemson it has the 3 and 4 year guys who've been with the program, the Clemson program, real good coach in Brad Brownell. Clemson, you know, reached the Final Eight last year, and most of those guys are back, so they have that experience factor. But Duke, you know, Duke fell behind. It was a game at Clemson. Noise. Duke was, you know, down 15 with 10 minutes to go, and Flagg was having a uncharacteristically bad game. I think he had single digits, and then he woke up and went crazy, and Duke almost won the game, but eventually fell. So, you know, if you want to put youth into the mix, John, but that's kind of a reach for me because the culture is so ingrained at Duke now. You know, we play to a standard. We're all business, and I'm not being phony here. they do it like the Wooden teams used to do it, and that's what's so admirable about them.
John, you know, when you look at the ACC in general, there's a lot of talk about North Carolina getting in, and you don't need to get into the weeds on it, but how surprised were you to see Carolina in the field?
I don't study the net rankings and all the various factors. I just don't have time, John, mostly because this year it's been time on planes and in rental cars in the eastern half of the United States. But, you know, Carolina, I mean, again, Stanford beat Carolina. A lot of people are using that sort of as a down thing for Carolina. Stanford played extraordinarily well at Chapel Hill and won by 1 point on a last-second shot. You know, I mean, I'm sort of with Billis in a way, John, that you know, the hue and cry if you're the 36th team. I mean, can you parse that well? Now, having said that, John, I believe that the committee structure should be changed. I mean, I wouldn't be upset with a Lunardi or a Palm and three other guys like that being the committee. You know, or if you want to, you know, disengage from the media connection, then maybe some other five guys. But I do think the athletic director thing, for all the reasons that have been talked about, I mean, I don't think the UNC athletic director was complicit, but the people in the room like him. He's out of the room for conflict of interest rules. It's time to vote, and you like the guy, and it's, you know, these two teams are right on the same line, and what do you do? I mean, we all can imagine what it's like to be in the room. So I think the time for change probably is at hand with the committee, but I don't have a problem with Carolina being in the committee or being in the tournament.
All right, you saw the ACC. Give us an idea. You know, it is a down year metrics-wise for the conference, but across the conference, travel aside, because that is another thing, it's a whole other animal, where is the relative strength of the ACC this year?
John, it's the top three teams, Duke, Clemson, which I just talked about, and then Louisville. I'm higher on Louisville. I do think Louisville got the shaft a bit with the seeding. They're an 8. Clemson's a 5. Duke, of course, is a 1. I think Clemson is the better team, again, because for the reasons I talked about. They got two guys that have been with the program for multiple years who are can really score it. They got a 4 man named Ian Shefflin who rebounds like a fiend. He sort of looks like a roly-poly neighbor of our that you might have at 6'9", but he fills up the rebounds and the points. And then Chase Hunter is the all-conference guard. He's 6'4", just real solid. Then got guys around that play defense. So Clemson's the second-best team. Louisville, you know, it's an interesting draw for Louisville, John. They play in Lexington as an eight seed, but then they get Auburn in game two in Lexington. So do with that what you will. You know, Louisville, Stanford played them twice in a 5-day period here over the past 10 days. Stanford had to go to Louisville. Let's see, a week ago Saturday in the regular season finale, Stanford lost by 20, wasn't in the game, and then 5 days later in the second round of the ACC tournament, Stanford almost won the game. I think that speaks to Kyle Smith's talent as a coach. Louisville has two great guards, Chucky Hepburn, second-best player in the league. It's a defensive fiend, but a real he's become real good offensively, too. Point guard, 6'2". And then a 6'5 off guard who gets in the lane all the time, you know, can get in the lane and score, Terrence Edwards, Jr. So they've got guards, but the front court, they got Javon Hadley, John from Colorado. You might recognize the name. They got some guys who came from College of Charleston with the head coach, Pat Kelsey. But I think Louisville is going to run into a buzzsaw against Auburn and Bruce Pearl, the head coach there. So sort of mixed bag for Louisville. I think Clemson is the best bet to go the second furthest out of the ACC.
All right, you've seen Louisville, you've seen Duke, you've seen Clemson. You also saw Oregon on a neutral court. I'm curious to see where you see Oregon matching up, you know, potentially in a Sweet 16 game against Duke. Let's just for the sake of the argument say Cooper Flagg doesn't play. Is that a game, or is it still? Do you still love Duke in that game?
Yeah, I still take Duke in the game, John. If Flagg plays, it's a matchup nightmare for Oregon because it's a matchup nightmare, John, for anybody because again he's 6'9", but moves like a 6'5" guy. And teams just don't have a defender for that. The big isn't quick or lateral enough, and the small isn't big enough. So if Flagg doesn't play or is compromised, and again, I think that we're not getting the full story on Flagg yet, but that's just based on, John, on personal experience with sprained ankles of various kinds. If Flagg doesn't play, you know, Duke... Again, Knepel will kind of be the engine. He makes the right play over and over again. He's hard to guard because he keeps faking, John. He's got an up fake. He has a stutter step. And if you back off, and you're backed off by that, so then he shoots the three over you. He doesn't look like he's that great, and then you watch the game, and he just keeps making plays over and over again. So he's a 6-7 matchup nightmare. I mean, again, John, the guards are good. Sion James at 6'5", transfer from Tulane. He'll lock anybody up. Real physical. He's about 210. And then Proctor's 6'6", so he shoots over people. Tyrese Proctor, the off guard. So that, you know, it's a problem. And then the guy underneath, John, came in Malawach, 7'2", freshman, but a nightmare around the rim. So if you breach the very good line of perimeter defense that Duke has, well, that guy's waiting. So, but again, for you know, so what's Oregon's chance to get in a Duke game if Flagg is compromised or doesn't play? You've got veterans with Oregon. I mean, Berthelemy has been around for 3 or 4 years. So is Bamba. I know about Brandon Angel. You know, I'm hoping he has a real good tournament. I know he's been up and down with the scoring, but I'm a big fan of him, of his, and he can shoot the three. I know that, and so maybe that helps Oregon. Biddle is coming on. He's going to have his hands full with Malawach at 7'2". So I guess that would be a key for me, John, if Biddle could just kind of get out of his head that the guy's 7'2" and think, well, I'm a senior. He's a freshman. I'll just use my savvy. I'll use my strength. I'll be a deeper. I'll set good screens or whatever. You know, I give Oregon a chance in the Duke game without Flagg, but I still give the edge to Duke.
John Platts, Stanford against Northridge tonight in the NIT. Cal State Northridge 22-10 against at Stanford tonight. I like Stanford in this game. How about you?
John, I'm just grateful to the Lord that we don't have to get on a plane for 2 weeks to Stanford. Obviously, John, it's been every other week since January 1, every other week. Stanford is number two in the NIT. I don't know if they call it the West region or whatever. So Stanford will be in the Bay Area for the next three games if they last that long, which I think there's a decent chance they will. They have to go to USF. USF is the one seed in Stanford's region. But, John, it's 3 weeks of being in your own bed, and then if Stanford gets to the Final Four, it's to Indianapolis and Hinkle Fieldhouse. So that's not quite as flying as far as Raleigh or Charlotte, so I guess I'll be grateful for that. But I'm just glad, John, to be sort of a ground zero for a couple of weeks.
People don't think about the travel and the impact that it has. Can you imagine having to go to class? You were a student at Stanford. Could you imagine traveling like you're traveling as an athlete and then having to go to class?
I would have trouble with it, John. Now, it's different than when I played. When I was playing, John, guys didn't go to summer school. And now the way the academic game is played is the Stanford players load up in the summer so that in the winter quarter, you know, they can take, you know, two or three classes tops. And again, you know, there was so much class time missed with this ACC, John. I mean, the games were Wednesday and Saturday, so the team would leave Monday and come back Saturday after the game, and you're missing the full week of class every other week, and that's challenging. But, you know, again, there's Zoom now, and the players, I can tell you from personal experience, they're attentive to the demands of their classes and want to do the best they can and pass their classes. So it's a mixed bag, but this is the reality of athletics. And I'll tell you, John, the ACC has done as well as can be done to accommodate the Stanford and Cal player needs and schedules. I mean, the scheduling was as compassionate as it could have been. You know, there weren't back-to-backs last week rolled into the ACC tournament. So hats off to the ACC, but it is a challenge. And yes, John, I would have trouble if I were trying to do what these guys are trying to do.
John Platts, have a great game tonight. Make sure you hydrate and get some rest.
Thanks, John. Talk to you soon.
All right, there he is, Stanford radio broadcaster John Platts, former Stanford athlete himself. He's on football and he's on basketball. Stephen Vaughn, you heard him talking about Cooper Flagg. As he's saying that, I'm like, why didn't the Blazers just tank this thing? What are the Blazers doing? What are they doing?
So the Wembanyama draft was a clear draft to tank it. The Cooper Flagg draft was as well. And that is one downfall of the Blazers exceeding expectations, as they probably are not going to get Cooper Flagg. But, man, this would have been the year. Just like Wembanyama was the year, this is also your Cooper Flagg.
Would you have traded some of those wins for, hey, you're likely in the top three?
Yes, I would have. I think Cooper Flagg is going to be that good.
Heartbeat. I would have done it in a heartbeat. They should have probably should have fired Chauncey Billups and put me in charge. I would have made sure that
you could lead
the teams
to some losses.
I'm going to say, fellas, this is what we're going to do. All right, we're going to leave two players down on the defensive end all game, and we're going to put three guys on the offensive end. You're not going to run back and forth.
So the last two games, John, the Blazers have played the Raptors and Wizards, two bad teams that are also tanking. You know what they're doing? They're not playing their starters at the end of games. They've been close games. The Raptors had a three to tie the game. They had no starters in the game. They're playing all backups. The Wizards did the same thing. So teams are already doing this. They just don't play their best players.
Yeah, 100%. There it is. Leave it here. You got the BFT.